The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Good afternoon. John Harper is sitting in for Drew Mariani, who is enjoying Thanksgiving with his family. Now, normally, the day before Thanksgiving would be a quiet day. You're just in the car trying to go someplace to get to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving. But we've got a lot of news and news that has broken. Within the last hour, you heard Mary Graham just a few minutes ago talk about those guilty verdicts for all three men charged in the death of Ahmaud Arbery. Jurors convicting three white men, Travis McMichael, his father Greg, their neighbor William Bryan, for murdering the unarmed black jogger in Brunswick, Georgia last year. This is Judge Timothy Walmsley reading the verdict within the last hour.
Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court.
You can imagine the emotion in the courtroom and outside of the courthouse in Brunswick, Georgia. This is within the last 30 minutes, the reaction from activist, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Brunswick, Georgia will go down in history as the place that criminal justice took a different turn. And let the word go forth all over the world that a jury of 11 whites and one black in the deep south stood up in the courtroom and said that black lives do matter. Let it be clear that almost 10 years after Trayvon, God used Wanda and Marcus's son to prove that if we kept marching and kept fighting, we would make you hear us.
Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, reacting also within the last half hour to the verdict. It was a verdict that she said she did not expect.
I just want to say thank you, guys. Yes. Thank you. Thank each and every one of you who fought this fight with us. It's been a long fight. It's been a hard fight. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
Early in, I never saw this day back in 2020. Mm-hmm. I never thought this day would come. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And I just want to tell everybody, thank you. Thank you for those who marched, those who prayed, most of all the ones who prayed.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. And now Quez, which you know him as Ahmaud, I know him as Quez.
Yes.
He will now rest in peace.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
And that's the reaction outside the courthouse in Brunswick, Georgia. Of course, it's a story that will continue to follow through the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon. Mary Graham with more at the top of the hour here on Relevant Radio. Well, here we are on the eve of Thanksgiving, and you may be listening in the car, and you're out there with a heck of a lot of other people because this is unlike the Thanksgiving we saw last year. In the middle of the pandemic, some 54 million travelers out there this afternoon.
We haven't been able to do it, you know, the past 2 years, you know, travel for Thanksgiving. And it's just such a blessing that we were able to do it this year. So we truly have something to be grateful for, right?
I've never been to the airport and it's been this crazy. So it's an experience for sure.
Being able to do it now is a ton of fun and it feels obviously a lot safer with vaccine mandates and masks. And feels like we have like much better handle on the pandemic situation.
So that's a little bit of good news that we're slowly getting back to normal right across the United States. And while we might not be partying like it's 1999, there is some more good news and the signs that the economy is starting to recover from the pandemic. And despite these temporary price spikes that we're seeing, the lowest number of people filed for first-time unemployment in 52 years. You have to go back to 1969. Still, millions of jobs remain open, and some businesses are paying a lot more to get you to work for them. And we've got a little bit more good news. Got to play the Star Wars music, because when you and I have Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, we probably, Maggie, don't have to worry about the asteroid reaching Earth.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff. The Falcon 9 with the DART mission on the way for humanity's first ever planetary defense test mission.
Yeah, they sent up a rocket to blow up an asteroid so it doesn't collide with the Earth. Now, we won't know how it turns out because we have to wait until September 2022 when the rocket reaches the asteroid. And you thought it was a long time just trying to get to where you're going this afternoon, right on this day before Thanksgiving. So you may be breathing a sigh of relief about that, or you may be breathing a sigh of relief for the fact that you signed up for Medicare, or that shallow breathing about what do I do? I'm in the same boat with you about what do I do, because I'm approaching that age. And you get bombarded, right, with emails, with snail mail. And how about all of the celebrities that are telling you about Medicare?
Hi, William Shatner here with an important message about your Medicare benefits. I've been on Medicare for longer than I'll admit, and it sure has changed.
George Foreman here to fight for you and make sure you're getting a Medicare Advantage plan with all the benefits available to you.
Hi, I'm Jimmy J.J. Walker. If you're on Medicare, listen to this. I called the 1-800 number to see what extra Medicare benefits I could get.
Okay, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust Chris Faddis, who is a member of Drew's family here in the afternoon, the founder and the chief operating officer of Solidarity HealthShare. And this is a completely different kind of health insurance if you're just hearing about Solidarity HealthShare for the first time, because it has Christians helping to support others directly. Let's get you through the maze of Medicare and everything else. Chris, good afternoon. Welcome to Drew's show and happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. It's good to hear your voice.
Should we pay attention to those guys on television?
To you. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Jimmy J.J. Walker was my favorite one. I caught that in a hotel room recently, and I thought, if I could have him saying dynamite on my commercial, I mean, that's exciting. That brought me back to lots of reruns. So I was excited to hear that. And you know, and it's one of those things that as you see this time of year especially, but it's something that every person is dealing with, whether it's Medicare or your own family, you know, healthcare decisions. It's a continuous concern year after year for Americans. And that's why I'm excited to be able to serve as we do with Solidarity.
Yeah, and it's going to be a concern because at the Thanksgiving table, I'm sure it's something that will come up in conversation, because as an only adult child having to take care of my mom and navigating through the system of Medicare and all of those health care choices that you have to make without the experience that you're going to give us here and the expertise that you're going to give us this afternoon, it really is confusing.
It really is, and I think you've seen, you know, most people have probably seen in the last few weeks the new Medicare rates disclosure that's been coming out. You know that most people on Medicare are going to have a pretty significant, the largest increase in their out of pocket rate in a long time. I mean, really, really long. I don't think it's ever been jumped this high in one year. So, you know, one thing we're really excited about is Solidarity. You know, for the last 5+ years that we've been out there sharing with your listeners and others around the country about our mission and what we do and inviting families, we haven't really served the Medicare population, the seniors. And this year we were able to announce that we now have a senior discount program. So members of, you know, so your listeners, I'm excited for Relevant Radio listeners to hear this because they've been hearing us for a long time, that if they're on Medicare A and B, they can now get a senior discount and use Solidarity as a complement to their Medicare program. Which is the first time we've ever done this, and it's something we felt was really important that we bring seniors into the family of Solidarity HealthShare.
Thanks be to God for that, and you can learn more online at SolidarityHealthShare.org, SolidarityHealthShare.org. And right now, if you have questions, because I know a lot of you are facing the same thing that I'm facing, just approaching that age, even though you want to kind of stop time, it's something that we've got to sign up for. It is just another rite of passage in our lives. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, with Chris Faddis from Solidarity HealthShare, online at SolidarityHealthShare.org. Talking about navigating through Medicare and the entire maze. I've gotten tons of email and loads of snail mail, and I read through all of it, and it's all very, very confusing. Can you just walk us through the basics of Part A, Part B, and then the rest of that alphabet, which seems to be confusing?
Yeah, you know, well, Part A is your general Medicare. All seniors, if you qualify for Social Security, then you get Part A. A lot of people talk about wanting to opt out, but the reality is if you paid into Social Security, that's just kind of an automatic thing. Part B is really covers the kind of the outpatient stuff, doctor's visits, certain stays and things, and that you pay out of pocket for. And that's what we were just hearing, you know, in the last few weeks about the premium for Part B is really what's spiking. And I wish I could remember the percentages, but it was pretty significant. And then C and D really cover those ancillary things. D is your Medicare, your prescription. And then C is a bunch of other, kind of add-ons. And so one of the things that, people are always choosing is, do I go to a Medicare Advantage plan? Do I do all those things? And I'm certainly no expert in Medicare, but ultimately you're basically kind of picking and choosing the puzzle pieces to create your well-being. Me as a senior, what am I going to do? And you have those four parts that you have to choose from. And one of the things that we said, you know what, for people who want to be a part of this, we have so many seniors that listeners of Relevant Radio are number one, where they'll call in and say, hey, I'm over 65, so I'm not a candidate, but I want to sign up my son or my daughter. I want to tell them about it. And I run into these people at events. So just recently, right after we made the announcement about the senior discount, I ran into a woman at a Catholic event. And she said, I got my daughter on, I got my son on, I got my other son just joined. So do you have anything for me yet? I'm turning 65 next month. And I said, actually, and I told her, and she goes, oh my gosh. And she ran over to the booth and talked to our team, and hopefully she's signed up and going to be a part of the program. And the great thing is, by being a part of Solidarity as a senior, when you have Medicare A and B, you'll get that senior discount. And then that will actually be in complement to Medicare A and B. And then you can use that for the doctor's visits, the medications. Now that we also announced we share into pharmacy prescriptions, you can use that for prescriptions. You can use it, to share into some of the, mental health and therapy and all those kind of things that Solidarity's members share into. And then these seniors get to be a part of this Catholic and Christian sharing community. And we're just so excited to have them part of it, because I think they've been supporting us and praying for us this whole time, and now they get to be part of the mission.
And learn more online at solidarityhealthshare.org with Chris Faddis as we talk about the senior discount that's now available for Medicare Parts A and B. If you're signed up, take advantage right now and learn more at solidarityhealthshare.org. You mentioned a good point, and that woman that you ran into having her son and daughter sign up for it too. It's never too early to start looking into this, because I was just kind of thrown into the pool when I became the primary caregiver for my mom. So that was, literal baptism by fire and trying to navigate the entire system. But, when you start getting some of those emails and some of the snail mail and you see some of these commercials, or if you go to solidarityhealthshare.org, don't dismiss it saying, I'm only 46. Take a look at it now, right, Chris?
Right. Yeah, definitely look at it now. You've got to also plan for your family's health care between now and then. Looking at what are the things I'm going to do. As I'm 46 to 65, I got to, I know for me, as I've gotten into my 40s, that every year I realize, wow, I used to never have maintenance medications, but now I suddenly do. And, now I've got to take those yearly checkups more seriously. So it's important that we start charting that path and that course, finding the right doctors. And I think, the prescription piece is a big part of that. Part D of Medicare is the part that handles prescriptions. One of the things that Congress keeps talking about is how they're going to help deal with drug pricing. And unfortunately, no one is really solving the problem. The real issue is a ton of hidden incentives for both the manufacturers of the drugs, the middlemen who create the networks of pharmacies to sell the drugs through benefits plans, including Medicare, all of those things. And so, transparency is really important. Working with a provider, with a healthcare partner who's going to give you transparency in your pricing. We just released our new pharmacy sharing program, and I got a text from a member last night saying, hey, this is unbelievable. I used to have to pay for this out of pocket, and with GoodRx, it would have cost me $50, and with Solidarity sharing it only cost me $5 out of pocket, and the total was $30.
Wow.
The Solidarity's member shared the difference. She saved $20 over GoodRx, which everyone thinks is the best. And so that transparency, passing the cost savings down to the member, is really important. And you don't really get that with Medicare. So that's one of the things I think people need to be watching. They need to be learning, finding advocates to help them with that journey. Because, as you said, John, we're all the medications
we're all getting
on there. Today, most likely I'm going to be on that when I'm a senior.
Yeah, exactly. 888-914-9149 with Chris Faddis from Solidarity HealthShare, helping you out and navigating through the waters of Medicare. Whatever age you are right now, it's never too early to start preparing. Sam's joining us in Athens, Georgia. Sam, good morning. Good afternoon. You're on with Chris.
Good afternoon, John. Good to hear you.
Good to have you back on the radio with us too, Sam. I'm blessed to be speaking with you. Do you have a question for Chris?
I do. I will be 68 years old on November 30th, and I wonder, since I only have Medicare A and B, how expensive would it be to get into the discount program?
Yeah, so there for the senior discount program, there's actually a discount on each level. So we have four different levels of your kind of your annual and shared amount or your out-of-pocket amount. It starts around, I want to say, right around $130 a month, and it goes down from there. And so, you know, I would encourage you to call. We actually have released new pricing, and it's there's about 60 different price points. And so we let our team share that with you. But it's, you know, that part out-of-pocket, again, what you get, you know, what you get to share into is all the expenses that Medicare does not cover for you. Solidarity's members would be able to share if it's eligible for sharing. But also, you know, that includes things like advanced and alternative treatments and, you know, physical therapy, mental health, like I said, prescriptions, a lot of the things that you may not be able to access through Medicare. You know, we have a lot of members who have been able to access life-saving advanced and alternative therapies for terminal illnesses, and that's because Solidarity shares in those things, and it's another reason why I think seniors will really benefit from being a part of Solidarity. So if you're on Medicare A and B already, you are a perfect candidate to speak to our team and see what we can do to help you with that senior discount program.
Sam, thank you, and God bless you. And Chris, we've been talking about SolidarityHealthShare.org to learn more information about the senior discount in these Medicare programs. What about a telephone number to call?
Yeah, you know, 844-313-4999. We've got a great team of onboarding specialists who help you with this. 844-313-4999. They're available today. Unfortunately, you know, we do let our staff be home for the weekend.
Right.
So we will not be available over the weekend, but certainly people can call the rest of today and get a hold of somebody.
Susan, St. Paul, Minnesota, listening to Relevant Radio 1330. Hi, Sue. You're on with Chris. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Currently a member, and I'm wondering when you're going to start expanding more providers that will accept your program.
Hi, Susan, thank you. Yeah, we are doing that every day, and it's actually something I have an email we're preparing out to you guys to highlight the care navigation program that we have where we have a team that helps find providers. But we've added several providers around the country this year. We're adding more resources to do that and continue to add. So currently there's about 1 million health share friendly providers available. But as far as people that we work directly with, you know, that it's a smaller number, around 5,000 or so. And then we can work with you. So I don't know if you've talked to our team, but if you have providers you haven't, you know, we haven't worked with before, those kind of things, our team can actually do that care navigation process, reach out to that particular provider and help arrange care. But that is actually something we're putting a lot of effort to over the next year, is just really driving those provider relationships. It's one of the reasons why Catholic Medical Association is one of our key partners, is we're working diligently to try to continue building those relationships.
Sue, great question. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for adding to the conversation here with Chris Faddis from Solidarity HealthShare, online at SolidarityHealthShare.org. And jot down the number 844-313-4999 as we talk about Medicare and some of the new senior discount programs that they have at Solidarity HealthShare. Teresa in Illinois, good morning, Teresa. Good afternoon. See, I'm used to being on in the morning. Good afternoon. Welcome and to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Chris. Go ahead, please.
Hi. When I needed this, there was no availability for seniors, you know, but I guess now there is. So mm-hmm. Can you tell me, because I'm on Part A, Part B, Medigap, and on Blue Cross and Blue Shield, because I ended up starting to work after I had to sign up for Medicare. What are the parts that you provide?
So we are not, so one thing to remember, Solidarity HealthShare is not an insurance. We are a healthcare sharing ministry. So we do not meet the you know, insurance qualifications and all that. So we officially do not provide a part of Medicare. So Parts A and B, our members will typically have Parts A and B. And then the things that we share into, all the services that are eligible for sharing as a member that you have full access to as a senior, those typically will be the expenses that you would find in Parts C and Parts D. So the Oh, this is all confusing. I'm as confused as you are sometimes about the different programs, but the prescriptions in Part D, as well as all the other kind of added services in Part C. So really what I find is, like, for a family that doesn't have Medicare, for my family and a lot of our families, it's comprehensive enough that they don't need any other type of insurance coverage, that the health sharing works. When you have Medicare, A and B takes care of, you know, those basic items that you need and all of that. And then Solidarity comes in and helps you with those deductibles and copays, and then again, your prescriptions, and then all those other therapy services, outpatient care, and all of that. So you would probably, need to kind of think through the Medigap and the Blue Cross and all that stuff. Chances are you wouldn't need those, because Solidarity would be comprehensive enough. And one thing I've been really proud of our team on the member onboarding team is they're really good at helping have that discussion with you. Again, we're not insurance brokers. We're not, those kind of advisors, but we can at least help you understand how it works and how it's worked for other members and help you through the decision-making process.
Teresa, thanks for the call. Chris, you are our guardian angel when it comes to all things Medicare and just navigating through all of these very crazy waters here. Learn more online at solidarityhealthshare.org, solidarityhealthshare.org. And that number one more time is 844-313-4999. And there's a bit of urgency to this because the Medicare enrollment goes through December 7th, am I right?
Yes, that is correct. So
December 7th.
If people want to give us a call, we will be happy to work fast for them.
Happy Thanksgiving, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Chris Faddis with Golder School coming up in just a couple of minutes. And Drew's in with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. All straight ahead. John Harper for Drew Mariani here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Good afternoon, John Harper for Drew Mariani. Drew enjoying some time with his family on this eve of Thanksgiving. And how did we get to the eve of Thanksgiving? Weren't we just getting the kids ready to go back to school in-person learning? After the last year of learning from home, hybrid learning, and all of the challenges, how's it been for your kids so far in this first semester of the school year? We're also hearing about teacher shortages across the country, especially with substitute teachers. Maybe you're a substitute teacher, probably naming your price right now. Maybe you're a teacher in the Catholic school system, in any school system. What's it been like for you? There's a success story to tell here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and it comes from the Archdiocese of New York, where Catholic school teachers have been at this for a long time and even through the pandemic, and there's a lot to learn and to see how they're navigating some of the waters right now is Michael Deegan, who is the superintendent of schools of the Archdiocese of New York. Michael, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, John, and to all of your listeners. It's always a pleasure to be on Relevant Radio, so thanks for inviting me on this afternoon.
You've been at this for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we've been working really, really hard, John, to ensure that our schools have remained open throughout the entire pandemic, not only last September of 2021, but the year before, 2020. All of our schools were open, 100% of them for all of our students. And we are very fortunate that we have been able to provide in-person learning for all of our children. And in large part, and I listened to your introduction, in large part, John, it is because of our teachers. Our teachers are an exceptional gift to the church. They really are an inspiration to all of us who work in Catholic schools, not only here in the Archdiocese of New York, where we are particularly blessed with the wonderful teachers we have, but right across the country. And I think our Catholic school teachers distinguish themselves because they put the interests of the children before their own interests or any political or any other agenda. And that's really what has enabled the Catholic schools here in the Archdiocese of New York and across the country to be a model to government schools on how schools should be running during this terrible, terrible pandemic.
How did you keep everybody healthy?
We were very, very intentional and very rigorous in complying with all of the government regulations, all of the health and safety protocols. We published both in 2020 and 2021 a voluminous document that was distributed to our school communities on how they could ensure that the children and the teachers and faculty were safe during the course of a school day. And whether it's temperature checks, masks, checklists, sanitizing, disinfectants, social distancing, you know, Catholics are rule followers. So by nature, we were following all of these rules. And I am proud to say, with very, very few exceptions, we did not have any infections within the school system. In fact, generally, when we would have positive cases, they were from outside activities and events that were, you know, that had some effect on our children. So we've kept them, our teachers and our children, healthy and safe throughout the entire pandemic. Thanks be to God.
Here on the Drew Mariani Show, Michael Deegan is with us. He is the superintendent of schools of the Archdiocese of New York. We're talking about their success story during COVID, and perhaps you have one in your Catholic school as well. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you're a teacher, a parent, a superintendent, a principal, I'd love to hear from you at 888-914-9149. The masks have been politicized. You have seen the school board meetings all across the country with parents upset about mask mandates. What has been the reaction of parents in the Archdiocese of New York, and how have you risen above that to teach the Catholic doctrine of the common good?
Well, I think, as would be emblematic of what is the debate across the country, you know, our parents in our Catholic schools, who overwhelmingly trust the science and trust the judgment of the Catholic schools office, the superintendent's office, to do what is right for their children. There are some who are troubled that masks need to be worn at this time. In New York State, we are legally obligated to ensure that our children and adults are wearing masks. I welcome the opportunity and look forward to a time when we can eliminate masks as a requirement. But for now, it is part of our layered health and safety protocols within our Catholic schools here in New York, but it is also a state mandate, and we follow those mandates to ensure that the children and the teachers are safe.
Mr. Deegan, we began the program today with the good news that I know that you've heard: the lowest number of people filed for first-time unemployment in 52 years. You have to go back to 1969, and that's certainly good news, but millions of jobs remain open. And I know substitute teachers are in great demand in the public school system, in the private and the parochial school systems. What's the situation in the Archdiocese of New York?
Well, as is true, John, across the country, we have experienced some loss of our teachers. In fact, to be honest with you, the teachers that we have lost in our Catholic school system have transitioned not out of the business, but have actually been recruited by higher paying public school districts. So we have lost some teachers to the public schools. But by and large, the vast, vast majority, 90-something percent of our teachers remain committed and dedicated to our Catholic schools. And if and when we need teachers, we've been able to reach out and to recruit. We have a large network of recruiting mechanisms in place to make sure that, you know, there are dedicated, trained, competent, and certified teachers in all of our classrooms.
I don't have to tell you, Michael Deegan, as the superintendent of schools in the Archdiocese of Newark, or anyone who's involved in the Catholic school system any place in the country, that you keep a very sharp eye on the bottom line. It's difficult. A lot of schools, so Catholic schools have closed, have merged, And you've had that happen in the Archdiocese of New York. So how do you keep an eye on the bottom line? And also, how do you get the attention of legislators in Albany and Washington, D.C. to get the fair share of money that easily flows to public schools to come to the parochial school system?
Well, John, this is a baffling situation for me. The Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of New York and throughout the country have been recognized and heralded as a model for how school systems should be run. Even the government has recognized the accomplishments of the Catholic schools throughout the country as a service to our country, certainly to our church. But what's baffling and absolutely discouraging to me is that there is virtually no recognition by state and Washington in providing us with the funding that we so deserve. The Catholic school system across the country saves taxpayers in this country $75 billion, with a B, dollars a year in tax savings because we do such a great job at educating the children in our Catholic school system. But there is virtually no recognition that Catholic schools are legally entitled to monies that public schools are entitled to and so freely are given. Even under the various stimulus plans over the last year that we have received allocations of funding, we have had to fight city and state government to get money we are legally entitled to. The Build Back Better plan of President Biden, which just recently passed through the House of Representatives, makes no provision for Catholic schools or religious schools in this country. Over $2 trillion was allocated for a variety of child care and UPK programs. The universal pre-K program that we run here in the Archdiocese of New York for almost 5,000 children, we're not eligible for it under its present version. Now, we're calling upon the Senate, and we're calling upon every Catholic across the country to reach out to their United States senator and say, hey, listen, put a provision in there that allows us to receive some of this child care and universal pre-K money. Because right now, there is no religious exemption. And therefore, if it passes in its present form, we will be unable to take advantage of the money because of the limitations placed on religious organizations. And we are never going to surrender our Catholic identity and our faith and our doctrine by receiving this kind of money. So we're encouraging every Catholic across the country to reach out to their elected representative in Washington and say, please make sure there is a religious exemption in the Build Back Better bill that will enable $140 billion of child care and universal pre-K money, some of it to go to our Catholic schools throughout the country. That's what we're hoping will happen.
Michael Deegan is the superintendent of schools in the Archdiocese of New York, joining us here on the Drew Mariani Show. Run this by me one more time. I just want to make sure that we've got it clear. In President Biden's Build Back Better plan, there is no money for Catholic education, for child care and universal pre-K, none whatsoever?
Zero. And that's because while there is language that allocates money for child care and UPK, Catholic schools are prevented from participating because of the restrictions and the prohibitions that will be made to Catholic schools across the country. So essentially, the money is there. Public schools will have no trouble accessing it. But whether intentionally or unintentionally, Catholic schools have been eliminated or prevented from accessing the money.
Have you had any conversations with the New York delegation about this? What have they told you?
Well, I think, yes, we have had conversations both with our elected officials here in New York State, as well as in Washington. And we are hopeful that there will be some influence made. We're hoping that our senators across the country recognize that they need to make amend the language to allow Catholic schools to access this money by including the religious exemption that will enable us to access the money. Presently, without that modification, without the change in language, that $140 billion will not be accessible by our Catholic schools and their families.
Wow. Michael Deegan is the superintendent of schools in the Archdiocese of New York here on the Drew Mariani Show, 888-914-9149. And this is the call to all of us to evangelize, to reach out. And it's not only in New York, but it's in all 50 states. If your children go to parochial schools, they're not going to see a penny, not one red cent of the Build Back Better plan. And this is where we have that opportunity to get on the phone and let our elected officials know, both in the state capitals and in Washington, D.C., that we're Catholic, we stand up, we have values, and we need that money. It should not all just go exclusively to public education. It has to come to parochial education as well. 888-914-9149 is our number. We have a few moments to take your calls. Let's turn to some better news. When we had conversations a long time ago, you started to see at the beginning of COVID a spike in enrollment of public school students in Catholic education. Now that you've got a little more empirical evidence in almost 20 months under your belt, what are some of the numbers?
Well, the good news, John, is that because of parental choice, which we are obviously very strong advocates of, we have had 2,500 children transfer from public schools in New York to the parochial school system in the Archdiocese of New York. And as a result of it, for the first time in 27 years, we have seen a modest increase in the enrollment throughout the school system. We have 175 schools, 60,000 children here in the Archdiocese of New York, and we have seen an increase, and we have given out millions of dollars in financial aid and scholarship money for families, both those coming from public schools and from private schools, transitioning into the Catholic school system. And I have to tell you, to be honest with you, John, this would not happen without the leadership of Cardinal Dolan. Mm-hmm. Cardinal Dolan, who obviously, as you know, is the Archbishop of New York, he is the most vocal and strongest advocate for Catholic education, not just here in New York, but around the country. So I think there is a great deal of inspiration that we have experienced because of his tenacity and his commitment and grit towards our Catholic schools here in New York, and it is paying off. The enrollment is up. Our teachers are working really, really hard. Our test scores, even through the pandemic, our standardized test scores have indicated that we continue to improve, and we have programs in place for those 2,500 children that came from public schools where there was a significant learning lag. We're addressing that with those children so we can get them up to par as well.
Jose is in San Dimas, California, joining our conversation with Michael Deegan, Archdiocesan Superintendent of Schools in the Archdiocese of New York. Jose, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, you know, I'm actually a teacher on unpaid leave, you know, and I feel for the Catholic schools, you know, for not receiving this religious exemption. I didn't get my religious exemption, and I'm out of a job, so I totally understand the dilemma. And I hope that we understand that, you know, even the Catholic Relief Services, you know, are part of the Build Back Better, that they advertise it in that fashion. But we're not getting anything from Biden. So, you know, we have to all reflect and, you know, keep Biden to his word.
Absolutely. This is our time to stand up and say, I'm Catholic, and to evangelize. So this is a way to evangelize as well, again, with clarity and charity to get this money from the Build Back Better plan. And Mr. Deegan, we'll be praying for you, the teachers, the students in the Archdiocesan school system in the Archdiocese of New York. Michael Deegan is the superintendent of schools in the Archdiocese of New York. I'm sure you're ready to enjoy a long Thanksgiving weekend after a very challenging first semester. So, Michael, thank you so much. God bless you.
Great. Happy Thanksgiving, and good to be with you. God bless you, John.
John Harper for Drew Mariani this afternoon. Drew will pray the chaplet at the top of the hour, and later on we'll share some Thanksgiving recipes and give you some as well. Plus, we're getting together for the first time in 2 years, seeing family, friends, not only talking about politics, but there's that mask thing and vaccinations too. How do you navigate through that? We've got the solutions coming up here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy begins soon on Relevant Radio.
And during the chaplet, and of course with the Family Rosary Across America weeknights at 7 Central with Father Rocky here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, we have been praying for all of those affected by the tragedy in Waukesha, Wisconsin. On Sunday afternoon, and now an 8-year-old boy became the 6th person to die as a result of that man, Daryl Brooks Jr., who drove his SUV through that Waukesha Christmas parade. WISN television covered the tragedy as it unfolded again last night with the 6th victim. And I don't have that audio for you right now, but it is so, so sad with the 8-year-old becoming that 6th person to die as a result of that man driving that SUV. Daryl Brooks has now been charged with 5 that will be upped to 6 counts of first-degree intentional homicide, and it's a charge that carries a mandatory life sentence if convicted. That's one part of the story, but you probably heard the other part of the story, where here is this man with this tremendously long criminal record who was released on bond even after striking somebody with a vehicle not 2 weeks ago, released on $1,000 bond. How does that happen? And how can we avoid that happening again? I'll tell you a story that's just here in New York. There's a man who was arrested this morning. He stabbed a young man, a 13-year-old, in the neck. Thanks be to God, the 13-year-old is going to be fine. But he was out on a weapons charge. He violated his parole for carrying a gun. I mean, he had this string of things, but he's out on the street. What's going on here? And how can we turn that around? And also, how can we get the attention of our elected officials to realize what's going on and to really put the pressure on the judicial system? Hannah Myers knows and can navigate you through this. She's the director of Policing and Public Safety Initiative at the Manhattan Institute. She served for 5 years in the Intelligence Bureau of the New York City Police Department, partnering with detectives on counterterrorism investigations and bringing one of the first state-level terrorism cases to prosecution. She's also worked with the FBI as well and is joining us right now to give us some feedback. Hannah, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Do you know what some of the cracks were in the system in Wisconsin that Daryl Brooks was able to walk on a $1,000 cash bond with a long rap sheet?
You know, when you look at the criminal history of Daryl Brooks, you see what has been so lost over the past few years in criminal justice policy and in discussions, which is that a key function of the criminal justice system, and that's policing and that's prosecution, is to keep an eye out for people who commit crimes and then deter and incapacitate them before they hurt people. And Brooks, you know, as you noted, he reportedly has a criminal record back to 1990 with 20 convictions and arrests for firearms and drugs and resisting arrest and bail jumping and reckless endangerment. He is a convicted sex offender, reportedly involving sex trafficking and impregnating a 15-year-old girl. And he had 2 outstanding felony cases, including the one you noted, where earlier in the month, with the same wretched SUV, he ran down his ex-girlfriend, who's the mother of his child. He should not be out in the community. And I think it's too early to say exactly why he was out on such low bail, because even by the very progressive standards and mentality of the Milwaukee District Attorney's Office, that still was not in line with their guidelines, which is why I think they're saying they're investigating it right now. But, you know, I think this incident really highlights what we have been seeing for the last year and a half and for longer than that, in terms of ignoring that serious violent crime like this doesn't happen in a vacuum. We need to be, yeah.
You've been inside courtrooms, so you know how it works. For the rest of us, we just watch the drama of Law and Order, and it doesn't really work that way. Is the criminal justice system so overwhelmed that there are so many people going through the system in front of these judges that there really isn't time to take a look at the background of some of these folks and the fact that they really should not be on the street? And now we're also talking about letting people out of federal prisons.
You know, I think it's a combination of things. There's certainly an overwhelmed system, and it has been made worse over the past year and a half. Obviously, COVID has slowed everything down, but just the climate has made it such that we have lost so many prosecutors who don't want to work in a system where they're not really able to prosecute laws, because discovery standards slow up the process, because they don't have the resources that they need.
Now explain what discovery is. Explain what discovery is, and the resources that they need to present this evidence in front of a judge to lock up more people.
Sure. Well, in New York, you know, we had a large bail reform package that went into effect in 2020, although really a few months before 2020. And part of it was to increase the discovery process, which is the amount of information that prosecutors have to compile and turn over to defense attorneys before as part of the trial, and it's an incredible burden of man hours. And also part of the problem that we've seen in New York is that the standards were raised such that prosecutors were made to turn over information, personal information about witnesses, where they live, things that made witnesses, very understandably, scared to come forward. So for all of these, and when the discovery burden becomes so much that a lot of prosecutors' time is taken up with putting it together, it can overwhelm the amount of time they have in which to bring a case, and the case gets dismissed, or it can just take up so much of their time that they have to dismiss other cases that have been pending for too long.
Who thinks this is a good idea?
There's, you know, a huge movement of so-called progressive prosecution that puts a focus on non-prosecution, on the decriminalization of crimes. And
what do they expect to do? I understand that you're innocent until proven guilty, but with this progressive prosecution, what are they expecting? What kind of miracle are they expecting from these folks who really should not be on the street?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. So in some sense, you know, a lot of it comes out of things that we can all be supportive of. You know, a lot of bail reform is about, we don't want rich people to not have the same, we don't want poor people to be held into jail for things that rich people would be let out on the street for. That's not fair. We all don't think that's fair. And so too with discovery, it's an abundance of consideration for offenders, for people who have been arrested and charged with crimes. And we all want everyone to have a fair shake, we want to have compassion. But at a certain point, this sort of goes back to what is so horrifying in Waukesha. It ignores the needs of victims, of innocent citizens, and understates the threat to communities of releasing people who have committed crimes, and overstates how sure we can be that their communities, their homes, their families is the best place for them. And to some degree says, all right, you know, we'll just accept that risk. We'll accept that if a certain percentage of people reoffend when they're not prosecuted or not held in, okay, that's fine. And that, I think, is what most people really oppose, but have not been vocal enough, don't vote in district attorney elections, don't make it known to state legislators. But
right. No,
we all care about public safety as much as we care about compassion for people who have been arrested.
Hannah, we only have about 90 seconds remaining. Let me just get some quick takes. Ahmaud Arbery,
sure.
The jurors convicted all three white men of murder today. So a life sentence, they'll appeal. Your reaction?
I think over the past year and a half, we have been so tested in our ability to trust the system. And it's been alarming how much people have simply ignored the jury process and their outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to respect that and whether it's the outcome we want or not.
What about the Rittenhouse verdict?
Same thing there. If that's people have so politicized it and so want a certain outcome, have injected race into a trial in which race is not really an issue. It's damaging to our trust in the system.
The good news is the jury system still works. Hannah Myers is the director of policing and public safety, the initiative at the Manhattan Institute, online at manhattan-institute.org. The website, again, manhattan-institute.org. Hannah, thank you for your time. Thank you for your perspective. Have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You as well.
Hannah Myers joining us from New York City. Drew, praise the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and then that examination of conscience. I went to confession today. I used the confession helper on the Relevant Radio app, but still, I get tripped up in doing that examination of conscience. We'll help you with that coming up in the next hour here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.